wrong. I'm glad you cleared that up. This is VOA Weather Hits.
Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Ashley Thompson.
And I'm Dan Novak. This program is designed for English learners, so we speak a little slower, and we use words and phrases especially written for people learning English. Coming up on the program, Gregory Stockel has a story on more money going to African climate startups. John Russell reports on an orangutan that appeared to use a plant to treat a wound. Brian Lynn has the technology report on the U.S. military's sea drone development. Later, Jill Robbins and Andrew Smith present the lesson of the day. But first,
financial support for climate technology startups in Africa from the private sector is growing. Businesses have raised more than $3.4 billion since 2019. However, the continent requires $277 billion each year to meet its climate goals for 2030. Experts say to receive more money, African countries need to deal with risks, such as unexpected currency value changes. And they say investors need to expand into different climate sectors, including flood protection, disaster management, and heat management. Investors should also use more kinds of funding methods. Africa, the big deal, is a financial support database. It says that last year, climate tech startups on the continent raised $1.04 billion. That is a 9% increase from the year before, and three times what they raised in 2019. That increase comes as overall money for startups in Africa fell last year. The money climate tech startups raised last year was more than one-third of all monies raised by startups in Africa in 2023. It came in second to financial technology, a more established sector. Venture capital is usually given to businesses with large risk, but great long-term growth possibilities. Startups use it to expand into new markets and to get products and services on the market. Even with the noted growth, private sector financing represented only 14% of all of Africa's climate finance from 2019 to 2020. That information comes from a study by Climate Policy Initiative, a finance and policy research organization. That number is far lower than in other parts of the world. In East Asia and the Pacific, for example, private sector financing represents 39% of climate finance. And in Latin America and the Caribbean, it makes up 49%. Sandy Okoth works at FSD Africa. The nonprofit organization receives funding from the British government. Okoth said the low financial support in Africa is linked to investors putting money in areas they are more familiar with, such as renewable energy technology. Less money comes in for more complex technology, Okoth said. That includes technology for adapting to climate change, he added. Wetility is a renewable energy startup based in South Africa. Last year, it secured funding of $48 million, mostly from private equity, to expand its operations. The startup provides solar panels for homes and businesses, and an online service that permits users to remotely access power usage. It aims to solve the problems of energy access and dependability in Southern Africa. Vincent Maphosa is founder and chief executive officer of Wetility. He said, "Private sector financing in African climate is still rather low." But he added that there is clear growth. Maelise Carrero is partner at Catalyst Fund. The Kenya-based venture capital fund supports climate adaption solutions. She urged for more diverse funding, such as mixing private and public sector funding together. She said one aim of public financing should be to bring more private sector capital into financing climate initiatives. She added, "We need the private sector and the public sector to work together to unlock more financing." I'm Gregory Stockel.
Researchers say a wild orangutan in Indonesia appeared to use a medicinal plant to treat a wound it had suffered. The observation represents the latest example of how some animals attempt to treat their own sickness or injury with medicines found in the wild, the scientists reported recently. The adult male orangutan lives in Indonesia's Gunung Lusir National Park. The researchers call him Rakus. They observed the animal pick and chew leaves of a medicinal plant. Then he used his fingers to spread the plant juices across an injury on his face. Afterward, he used the chewed material to cover the open wound, the researchers said in a new study in Scientific Reports. People throughout Southeast Asia use the same plant to treat pain and inflammation. Earlier research documented several kinds of great apes looking for medicines in forests to heal themselves. However, scientists had not yet seen an animal treat itself this way. Study co-writer Isabel Laumer of the Max Planck Institute of Animal Behavior in Konstanz, Germany, said, "This is the first time that we have observed a wild animal applying a quite potent medicinal plant directly to a wound." Ulil Azhari, a co-writer and field researcher at the Suak Project in Medan, Indonesia, first recorded the orangutan's behavior in 2022. Photographs show the animal's wound healed and closed within a month. Scientists have been observing orangutans in Indonesia's Gunung Lusir National Park since 1994, but they had not seen this behavior before. "It's a single observation," said Emory University biologist Jacobus de Rood, who was not involved in the study. "But often we learn about new behaviors by starting with a single observation." Very likely it's self-medication, said Derude, adding that the orangutan applied the plant only to the wound and no other body part. It is possible Rackus learned the treatment method from other orangutans living outside the park, said co-writer Caroline Schupley at Max Planck. Rackus was born and lived outside the study area when he was young. Researchers believe the orangutan got hurt in a fight with another animal. Scientists have recorded other kinds of primates using plants similarly. Bornean orangutans rubbed themselves with juices from a medicinal plant, possibly to reduce body pains or chase away parasites. Chimpanzees in several places have been seen chewing on plants that can help ease stomach pain. Gorillas, chimpanzees, and bonobos swallow some kinds of rough leaves whole to kill stomach parasites. Tara Stowinski of the nonprofit Diane Fossey Gorilla Fund said, "If this behavior exists in some of our closest living relatives, what could that tell us about how medicine first evolved?" Stowinski had no part in the study. I'm John Russell.
U.S. efforts to expand the use of sea drones to defend against possible military threats are reportedly falling behind because of other American defense goals. Reporters from Reuters said they spoke with several people who have direct knowledge of the U.S. sea drone plans. The news agency spoke with officials in the U.S. Navy and Department of Defense. They also spoke with executives with sea drone companies. Defense Department spokesman Eric Pahone told Reuters that U.S. military officials recognize the importance of using drones in operations at sea. Pahone noted that military leaders had seen the ways Ukrainian forces had successfully used sea drones against Russian ships in the Ukraine war. In recent months, Yemeni-backed Houthi rebels have also used sea drones to attack private ships passing through the Red Sea. Pahone said those examples had caught the attention of top military leaders. He said U.S. military officials would like to try using sea drones to answer moves by China in recent years to build up naval power in the Pacific. Last August, Deputy Secretary of Defense Kathleen Hicks announced a new agency program called Replicator. It aims to deploy hundreds of small, relatively low-cost air and sea drones over a period of 18 to 24 months in hopes of limiting Chinese threats. Brian Clark is an advisor to the Navy on drones. He is also a researcher at the Hudson Institute, a Washington, D.C. international policy group. He estimates the U.S. Navy has around 100 small drones for use on the ocean surface and another 100 underwater drones. Experts say China has a similar-sized sea drone force. Reuters reports that U.S. military officials told the news agency the Replicator announcement came after years of repeated warnings even from people inside the Department of Defense. The warnings centered on a lack of progress in expanding its sea drone program while efforts by other nations moved forward. Two Navy sources and three officials with sea drone manufacturers described to Reuters one of the biggest barriers to progress. They described a budget process that centers too much on developing big ships and submarines built by established defense contractors. At some point, you hit the DC problem, said Philip Stratman. He is the chief of Ocean Power Technologies, a New Jersey company that supplies the Navy with one of its drones. You hit the fact that there is a military-industrial complex that has the best lobbyists and knows exactly how the money flows and contracting works in the Department of Defense, Stratman said. A Navy spokesperson told Reuters it acquires capabilities based on fleet demand signals. This means listening to officers operating at sea about the immediate needs they have. A Navy spokesperson told the news agency it has a budget of $172 million this year for small and medium-sized underwater sea drones. This amount would fall to $101.8 million in 2025. That is a very small part of the $63 billion Navy budget that President Joe Biden's administration proposed for 2025. Two Navy sources told Reuters that when sea drones were deployed at sea in recent years, there was not effective expertise to use them. They said the Navy does not have enough trained sailors to pilot the drones or to examine the large amount of data the drones collect. The sources asked not to be identified because of the sensitivity of the subject. A Navy spokesperson said the Navy is currently in the process of improving its data collection and examination methods. Defense Department spokesperson Pahone said military efforts had been laser-focused on developing new innovation over the last 3 years. That includes the use of sea drones. Speaking about the department's budget challenges, Pahone said officials were trying to use creative ways to cross the Valley of Death. This term is used to describe the complex approval process that new innovations must go through before they can be widely produced and deployed. I'm Brian Lynn.
Brian Lynn is here now to talk more about today's technology report. Thanks for joining me, Brian.
Of course, Dan. Glad to be here.
This week's report suggests the United States has been falling behind in the development of drones for naval operations. The report identifies a current need for sea drones, specifically in the Asia-Pacific area. What can you tell us about that?
Yes, several Defense Department officials were quoted as saying these kinds of sea drones could be deployed in Southeast Asia to help counter recent naval buildups there by China. The officials said this buildup has shown no signs of easing, especially in areas China claims in the South China Sea. Having more sea drones in the Asia-Pacific area would represent a show of power for the U.S. and could also provide protection for U.S. military troops and equipment if conflict does break out in the area.
The Defense Department's Replicator program is designed to quickly deploy hundreds of new drones to areas around the world. Where do things stand now with that program?
Yes, so this program was first announced last August. At that time, the department said the deployments would be happening over the next 2 years. But that program has been on hold because of military budget issues. But just this week, the Pentagon announced specific contract agreements it has with companies to provide different sea drone models. And these first drone deployments are expected to happen soon and continue for the 2 years.
All right. Thanks again for joining me, Brian. And thanks for your report.
You're welcome. Thank you, Dan.
Is Anna Mateo.
My name is Andrew Smith.
And I'm Jill Robbins.
You're listening to The Lesson of the Day on the Learning English Podcast. Welcome to the part of the show where we help you do more with our series, Let's Learn English. The series shows Anna Mateo in her work and life in Washington, D.C.
Today we're going to talk about a sport some call America's sport. That's because in Lesson 31, Anna is trying to go to a baseball game.
Ah, so that's why Lesson 31 is called Take Me Out to the Ball Game.
I'm sure you know that song, Andrew. For our listeners, it's a song that they sing at the baseball parks during a short break in the play. People are encouraged to get up and stretch their legs while they sing the song.
Take me out to the ball game. Take me out to the park. I think one reason they started that is because baseball games can be long, sometimes 3 hours or longer.
You're probably right, Andrew, but things have changed. At the beginning of this year's season, they decided to use a new rule called the pitch timer. It makes the players move into place quickly and throw the ball or hit the ball within the set time. The games are now about a half hour shorter.
That's good news. Maybe I will go see a baseball game then. Let's see what Anna is doing in Lesson 31.
Hi there, sports fans. Baseball is America's sport. Today, I am going to Nationals Park. It is home to Washington, D.C.'s baseball team, the Washington Nationals. Hi, Jonathan.
Hi, Anna. Where are you going?
I am taking a bus to a Nationals baseball game.
Don't take the bus. A taxi is faster than a bus.
Oh, good idea. You know, I love baseball.
Oh, that's great. Have fun.
Anna says goodbye to Jonathan, but then runs into another friend on the street, Ashley. And she gives her some advice about getting to the ballpark. Remember, Jonathan told Anna,
don't take the bus. A taxi is faster than a bus.
But Ashley doesn't think that is such a good idea.
Hi, Anna.
Hi, Ashley.
Where are you going?
I am going to see a Nationals baseball game.
What time is the game?
7 o'clock.
Do you have a ticket?
No, not yet.
Anna, you should go a lot earlier than 7 o'clock.
That is why I'm taking a taxi. Taxi!
Anna. That is not a good idea. A bicycle is faster than a taxi.
Traffic is always a problem in Washington, D.C. But you learn some ways to get around, even when the streets are crowded. Ashley is telling Anna that she should go by bicycle to the ballpark.
That is a good idea. bikes can ride around a line of cars. But I'm not sure Anna has a bike.
I don't think she does. And she tells Ashley.
Oh, Ashley. Ashley. A car is faster than your bicycle.
That's why Ashley tells her.
In DC traffic, sometimes a bicycle is faster than a car.
Did you notice her pronunciation there, Jill? I think this is another one of those reduced forms we always find in natural speech.
Yep, it is. Let's listen to How to Pronounce host John Russell explain in our pronunciation practice video.
When English speakers use comparative adjectives, they sometimes do not pronounce the word than clearly. Ashley says,
in DC traffic, sometimes a bicycle is faster than a car.
So you may hear someone say,
the metro is faster than a taxi.
There, you hear a reduced vowel, the schwa, instead of the sound, a. Listen. Than. Then. You know, we could give some examples with some other adjectives to compare ways to get to the baseball park.
Oh, like riding a bicycle is cheaper than taking the metro.
And taking the metro is cheaper than taking a taxi. Notice also, we use the verb take with both taxi and metro, but we say ride with bike.
And of course we use drive if we are driving a car. In lesson 31, Ashley tries to lend Anna her bike. She soon learns that Anna can't ride a bike. Let's listen to that part.
In DC traffic, sometimes a bicycle is faster than a car. And right now, there is a lot of traffic.
Good point. But I don't have a bicycle.
Okay, Anna, you can use my bicycle.
Thanks!
Oh!
I really want to learn how to ride one.
Well, what do you mean, learn how to ride a bike? Oh, Anna! Anna!
Well, it looks like Anna is going to have to find another way to get to the game.
Let's finish the lesson and see how she gets there.
You know, Anna, the metro is faster than a taxi and a bicycle. You ought to take the metro. It's that way.
Good idea.
Okay.
See you later.
Bye, Anna.
Bye. The metro was a lot faster than a bus, taxi, or bike. And now I'm at National Park.
This might be a good chance for our listeners to practice their pronunciation by talking about two means or two ways of transportation in their own town or city. Pick a place you want to go and tell us about the different ways you can get there.
Send us an email at learningenglish@voanews.com or write your comment on our YouTube video.
And remember that there are dozens of episodes of the Let's Learn English series you can watch to help you learn English. And don't forget, on our website, learningenglish.voanews.com, each episode of the Let's Learn English series comes with a lesson plan you can download to help you learn more or even teach English to others.
Thanks for listening to the lesson of the day on the Learning English podcast. I'm Jill Robbins.
And I'm Andrew Smith.
And that's our program for today. Join us again tomorrow to keep learning English through stories from around the world. I'm Ashley Thompson.
And I'm Dan Novak.